Hello everyone and welcome to today's teleseminar called Uncovering Your Greatness. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call today. In a few moments from now I'll be introducing our very special guest, Darren Eden. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour I'll be asking Darren a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of those questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners. Now, Darren and I have been friends for probably around 2 years now, and we first became friends when Darren came to London, like around about 2 years ago, from Australia, after having spent the last 10 years training thousands of people on how to actually master their intuition and actually step into their greatness through their intuition. And Darren basically just arrived in the UK, was keen to share all this knowledge and skill that he developed in Australia, and that's when we actually became friends. And I guess over the course of our two-year friendship, I've had the great opportunity to not only be friends with Darren, but also to attend many of his trainings, and they have both had a very personal impact on my own life, and I can also vouch for the people that I've shared that process with as well. I can see that it's touching many, many lives as well over in the UK as well. So Darren has actually been a regular guest as well on People You Should Meet, so it's a great pleasure to continue our conversation in this forum as well. So I'd like to welcome to the call our very special guest, Darren Eden. How are you doing there, Darren?
I'm very well, Damien. How are you? Great to be back.
It's a rainy day here in...
I think it's overcast here in London, but nice and chilly, as you'd expect it to be in the middle of winter in London.
Yeah. Now, Darren, I just thought I'd start us from the top. Just by, I guess, for many people, this term of greatness may not be all that familiar. So I was just wondering if you could actually just start by sharing what does it actually mean to uncover your greatness?
Sure. Basically, when I talk about someone's greatness, what I'm talking about is their inherent God force, for the use of a better expression. Because basically, what the premise that I work with is that we are all gods. We're all divine, magnificent beings in physical bodies. And that's our greatness. And as divine beings, we're naturally intuitive. We're actually inherently connected to everything. We're aware of who we really are, what we really love, what our purpose in life is. And so that's what our greatness is. And to just kind of put a finer point on it is this kind of mystical yet magical irony is that when we're born into our humanity, we forget our greatness, we fall asleep to it. Mm. And we actually form another aspect of ourselves, which I call our identity. Inherently, we're all, whether we're aware of it or not, we're all schizophrenic. That we have these two aspects of ourselves. We live out of our identity for the most part, which is who we think we are, but it's our illusory self. And our greatness kind of sits in the background, kind of almost dormant, very much like a butterfly. It kind of sits dormant within the structure of a caterpillar. And so where our greatness is, say, one of our greatest gifts in our greatness is our intuitive ability, which you were mentioning before, it's always in the background and is dormant, and we're not really aware of its power. It's like this latent power, because we're living predominantly out of our identity and out of our thoughts and feelings and out of our assumptions. And when I talk about uncovering our greatness, it's about bringing that dormant, latent power to life. It's literally waking, you know, Anthony Robbins had this great book that came out in the 90s, Awaken the Giant Within. And that's the giant that's lying asleep within all of us, that when you wake that up, you're literally reclaiming your destiny as a human being. And that's really what my fundamental message is that's what we're destined to do, is to uncover... awake our greatness and transform into it and to live from it. And in so doing, discover our true self and live from our true self, literally as gods walking on the planet, as opposed to, you know, pretending that we're just human beings disconnected from everything. And so that's pretty much what it means to live your greatness. And you know, in so doing, just kind of describe the fact that we have a greatness and we have an identity. We have a true self, we have an illusory self. And that kind of comes back to me, to one of my favorite sayings. It's kind of like my ultimate message, really, is what was written in above the oracle in Delphi, above all else, know thyself. And I love that because it says, above all else, know thyself. And my extension to that is, know thy true self, which is your greatness, but also know thy false or illusory self, which is your identity. And I really believe that that's what we're destined to do, is to truly know ourselves. And then from there, we can really create magnificent lives and the lives we're destined to live.
Awesome. Now, I guess there could be many people on the call just wondering if greatness is something that's just reserved for the special ones, or is in fact greatness present inside every single human being?
Well, yes to both questions, really, because we're all the special ones. You know, every single one of us is special ones. You know, like there's the expression of the chosen one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I just was watching Harry Potter the other day in A Half-Blood Prince, and there's this scene where Harry Potter's with this, sees this girl, because they're teenagers, and there's all this sexuality flying around, and Hermione's going, she's only interested in you because you think you're the chosen one. And he goes, I am the chosen one. The truth is, we're all the chosen one. And like in The Matrix, it talks about the one, but we're all the one. Because the one, the chosen one, is referring to that inherent greatness that's in each and every single one of us.
Mm.
It isn't just reserved for, you know, the elite few, you know.
Mm. And I guess that ties in quite nicely with the fact that we're all connected as well. So
yeah,
like on a personal level, we're the one, and collectively, we're the one as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome. Now, I know a very big part of your work, Darren, is actually helping people transform into their greatness. And one of the things that you actually help people access that greatness is through actually using the hero's journey. Like often through your trainings, you'll mention movie metaphors or mythology or stories that can actually help people uncover their own greatness. And I was just wondering if you could actually share for people at home, what exactly is the hero's journey, and are there some very important, I guess, key components to that journey that people need to be aware of as they embark on this quest?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, the thing is, in order to uncover our greatness and in order to transform into it and live our greatness, we each individually have to go on our own hero's journey to do that. And that's the path that every single person who has actualized their God force, who's become enlightened even. I mean, to me, transforming into your greatness is just another way of saying becoming enlightened, to be quite frank. And every single person who has become enlightened, who is living from their greatness, has gone on their own personal hero's journey. And for those people who haven't heard of or may have just, you know, don't really know about the hero's journey in depth, it was articulated initially by Joseph Campbell, who is a professor of mythology, and he basically spent his life studying comparative religion. I would say he's my biggest hero. You know, everyone has a hero. I'm talking about the hero's journey. And can you imagine spending your whole life studying every single religion, every single form of spirituality that has ever existed since humankind has, you know, had a sense of consciousness? And he basically, through this exhaustive study, realized there was one common myth that ran through, even though each culture or each tribe or each religion had its own stories or had its own myths, there was one myth that ran true, like the golden mean, or if you're a statistician, like the bell curve, that ran through every single story, or every single myth, or every single religion, and it was the hero's journey, and which I think is just remarkable.
Mm,
you know, it's like the ultimate template that we're destined to go on.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
And another, I guess, like in terms of the hero's journey itself, are there some key points in that journey that, that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I love being asked that question, because even though when we were talking the frame up, this is the sort of thing I could spend the next 2 hours talking about. It's one of my favourite subjects.
I think you're being modest there, Darren. You probably talk for lifetimes.
But just in terms of greatness and identity, what the hero's journey does is help articulate why we have a greatness and how our identity is formed, because the hero's journey starts where the hero is always born of royalty. And like if you see Star Wars, it's a classic hero's journey. If you even Harry Potter, classic hero's journey. Lord of the Rings, classic hero's journey, where the hero is always born of royalty, and that's a symbol of our own royalty and a symbol of our own divinity. So where the hero says, "Well, the hero is born of royalty," what it's actually saying mythologically, and using archetypes, is that we're all royal, we're all divine. And there's always, in any classic hero's journey, the hero's always born of royalty, and then just after they're born, there's a threat to the hero's life. And as a result of the threat to the hero's life, the hero goes into hiding and ends up living as a peasant. And, funnily enough, just using Harry Potter as an example, because it's probably the most common, most prevalent hero's journey that's out at the moment. You know, he was born of royalty, wasn't he? He was born of two very powerful magicians. And then there was the threat to his life where, Voldemort killed his parents and gave him the scar. By the way, I can say his name. He has no power over me, Voldemort. and so he's wounded, you see, and that's the threat to his life, and we're wounded as well. And then he ends up living in hiding, doesn't he, where he ends up living with his uncle and aunt, who are muggles. And it's such a classic motif of the hero's journey, where he's living. And the thing is, too, is when he's before he actually goes to Hogwarts, he doesn't know he's a magician. He just thinks he's a muggle. And that's the thing, is that that's a really important part of the hero's journey and how our identity is formed, because you end up living as this peasant, and, it's the same thing, muggle, magician, identity, greatness. No, peasant, royal, it's the same thing, just different words. And that's what we have done. Most people who are born of their greatness, they're wounded, and we're all wounded just after we're born, and that's the threat to our life. And then we end up forming beliefs to try to resolve the pain of our wound, and as a result of forming these beliefs, they end up triggering certain behaviours that end up that we reinforce, that end up forming this identity, which is equivalent to becoming a muggle, or it's equivalent to becoming a peasant in the form of our greatness. And then we convince ourselves that that's who we are, and we forget that we're born of royalty, we forget that we're divine, you see. And it's no different to Harry not realising that he's, a magician. And so that's the first major phase of the hero's journey that every single one embarks on.
Right.
And the way that you uncover your greatness is where the hero comes to a point where they're living out their muggle existence, and they realise that there's got to be more to life than this. And there's always that point where the hero goes, there's got to be more to life than this, and then magic starts happening around them, and they can't explain what happened, and they enter into this next phase of the hero's journey, which is called the call to adventure phase, and where the hero gets a glimpse of their heart. With the magic happening around them. And not long after that, they end up meeting a wise person who then reveals to the hero that you're not a muggle, you're not a peasant, you're divine, you have greatness within you, and you're destined to restore that greatness. And then the hero then goes into training with the wise person to restore their greatness, to come back into their true power. Then the hero always then has to face their demons, and then they, after facing their demons, they then find their treasure, which is no different to facing your demons. It's like dying and resurrecting. It's like finding a treasure, and then you come back to your greatness. And that's the very brief version of the hero's journey and the path that we go on to come home to our greatness.
That's amazing.
And I just love the fact that Joseph Campbell has articulated this so beautifully. And if most movie scripts, any movie script worth its weight in salt, has this as its underlying structure.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm. And I guess for people listening at home, I haven't no doubt at all that they're probably, I guess, the stories of their own life, they can see these themes or these patterns revealing themselves in their own lives. So
absolutely.
It's very, very powerful. We're all sort of living out these great mythical adventures in our own way.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, the best hero's journey movie that's out at the moment is Avatar.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It is the most extraordinary hero's journey movie. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it.
Mm.
In fact, I'm going to see it in 3D tomorrow in the IMAX in London for the second time.
I've seen it in 2D, but I'm looking forward to actually going back again and seeing it in 3D as well.
Yeah,
awesome.
Definitely.
Cool. I guess there's another thing that I really wanted to explore, and I think it's very, very timely to bring this up as well, is the whole notion of goal setting. Now, lots of people have actually set their goals for 2010. Some people are actually in the process of setting their goals for 2010. I was just wondering, how does actually goal setting fit in with, I guess, the greatness that we all contain inside of us, and also this identity or illusory self?
Yeah, I mean, fantastic question. Because from my perspective, before you start setting any goals, the first thing to do is to take a step back and make the choice to know thyself, to understand your greatness and what it really wants, who you really are and what it really wants, and understand your identity, your illusory self, and what it thinks it wants. Because unless you understand those two aspects of yourself and the agendas or the goals that each wants, what you're going to do unconsciously is just keep creating goals that are perpetuated or determined by your identity, by your illusory self. And so as a consequence of that, the goals you set will be illusory. They're not going to be real. And quite frankly, I think it's just a complete waste of time setting goals or setting resolutions that are based on your identity, are based on assumptions.
Hmm. I think it's very interesting because lots of people would actually achieve their goals and actually feel very hollow at the end of that process.
Absolutely.
And is that, the goals that are set out by this identity?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, when we're setting goals from our identity, and just to take a step back, as our identity is structured, it's a completely fabricated part of ourself which has been built on beliefs that we formed in childhood. So unconsciously, when we're setting a goal, we're not just creating something just because we want that thing, you know, just for the pure love of having it. It's always unconsciously to resolve something, a part of us that's incomplete, you know. It's to try to be more lovable or to be more successful or to belong or to feel like we're safe or in control or more powerful. It's all trying to, all these goals are trying to fulfill those unconscious needs, to try to literally resolve the wound that we formed in childhood. They're not there just because you absolutely love it, just because you want it. You know what I mean? Just because it's there and it's true to have.
Mm.
And that's why a lot of people can set goals at the beginning of the year, and even if they do create them, most people set them and then, all the forces of life come in and they give up on them. But even if they do create them, as you say, people feel so hollow at the end. They've come at the end of the year and they just go, well, I'm just at the same place I was before, even though I've created all these things.
Mm.
Awesome. So that's why it's so important. My fundamental message is focus on your greatness first. Transform into your greatness first. And in the process of doing that, discover what your greatness truly loves and then go about creating that.
Mm.
Make them your goals, you see.
Mm. So I guess for someone who is connected to their greatness and has been working or has a deep understanding of it, to then plan and find ways of actually sharing that greatness with the world and celebrating it, that's when goal setting actually becomes a useful tool.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Like when I actually do an intuitive goal setting process in the course that I do called the Transformation, which I'll talk about later. And it's very different to a traditional goal setting process. You know, most people say if you're going to set goals, they have to be SMART goals. Most people are aware of the whole SMART goals because S means they've got to be specific, M means they've got to be measurable, A means they've got to be achievable, R means they've got to be realistic, and T means they've got to be time-based. Most of that is rubbish. Honestly, it's just rubbish. It only has to be specific as enough to know that you'd love it. One, it doesn't have to be measurable because most of it's what you'd really love is what your identity would consider to be impossible. So you can throw measurable out of that. I mean, it's measurable in the sense of the fact that you can create it, but that's your only standard of measure. Have you got it or not? You know, and then I guess the achievable part of it is the fact that it's never going to be achievable from your identity's perspective, but it is achievable in the sense that just because you'd love to create it and you use your intuition and you use the latent powers of your greatness to create it. And most of what you create from your greatness is far from realistic. It's magical. Magic and realism don't usually live together. And then it doesn't have to be time-based, although it can be, just to create some tension there. But again, your greatness can create what you love overnight, or it could take longer. I remember a friend of mine saying years ago, he said, some miracles happen overnight and some take a little bit longer. You know, so who cares how long it takes if you're creating what you love?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, I guess for people who are spending a lot of time living through their identity at the moment, and are wanting to make that shift into their greatness, are probably thinking about what first step they could actually make on that journey. And I was just wondering if you could actually share some insights into how people can actually take that first step.
Well, from my experience, the choice to make that first step is the choice to be trained in your intuition. And it's really that simple. Now, I've done, before I met my teacher, William Whitecloud, who trained me in my intuition, I'd spent 10 years doing every single personal development program that was available in Sydney, where I was living at the time. And as much as I had some great experiences, none of it resulted in me transforming into my greatness. It was only when I got trained in my intuition and I started mastering my intuition that my true greatness started being revealed to me, what my greatness really loves started being revealed to me, and it was also the means for me to create these things and to manifest my greatness, to actualize it. So the one thing anyone can do to start moving down this path is the choice to develop your intuitive ability. Because your intuitive ability is not some cocktail party kind of thing that you can just get tarot cards. A lot of people think intuition is just like tarot cards or psychic reading or telling the future or whatever. And that's just really the identity having no idea really of its true power. Your intuition is very much like the Force in Star Wars. And it's about mastering that force. It's your ability to master that force and to wield it. It's very powerful. That's the latent force that we have within our greatness. And this, I'm so grateful myself to have met William, who had, developed some very specific and amazing intuitive skills, which I've then adopted. And then together over the previous 10 years I was in Australia, we've refined and finessed and mastered to such an amazing degree. And it's just the most amazing thing you can give yourself. And it's the most direct path to fully actualizing your greatness and your God force that's available to you. So it's really that simple.
Awesome. Now, Darren, I mentioned you have been training people for 12 years, and I guess in that time you have trained thousands of people, and in that time have come across some phenomenal transformation stories. And I was just wondering if you had a one or two that you'd like to share, just to give people a feel what can actually happen when they do take a step on that path.
Yeah, well, the main program, as I said, that I run is called the Transformation, which is a 8-month program, 1 week in a month for 8 months. And I just ran my first one in the UK this year. And there's some great stories of people that have transformed into their greatness. But one in particular that comes to mind, where a gentleman that did the training with me was a relatively successful actor, in the sense that he'd been acting for about 30 years, and successful in the sense that he was able to kind of maintain his survival. He wasn't an A-list actor by any means. He got a kind of regular stream of work, in B-list movies or, non-speaking parts or commercials or, extras in movies and things. But he never really could get the sort of roles that he really wanted. And just through the process of doing the training and developing his intuitive ability, one thing his intuition said was to sack his agent. And if anyone has worked as an actor, that's like the ultimate no-no. You do not, under any circumstances, sack your agent until you've already got a new one. It's like the cardinal sin in the acting world. But his intuition said, no, it's this agent that's keeping you down, keeping you perpetuating your identity, really. And basically, he let that go, and his intuition's going, just kind of leading him virtually out into the unknown. And then out of the blue, he gets a phone call, because he'd already set up a theatre company a few years ago. He gets a phone call from this guy who knew of him through his theatre company, who said, look, there's this doubleheader play, just him and this other guy. We want to consider you for it, but we want you to know that Jude Law's up for it. Who else was it? I can't think, but there are a couple of other big-name English actors who are up for it. I want you to know, we'll consider you, but if Jude Law decides to take it, we'll pass you up. <It's> like, anyway, Jude got another offer, and the other big-name actor got another offer, and he got the part.
Wow.
And it was just, it's launched in Coventry. It was a huge hit. It got rave reviews, and it's now in the process of, they're now working on the transfer to the West End, and he's just come back from the States, where they're looking at the transferring it both to LA and to New York.
Wow.
And they're securing the rights to turn it into a film. That's just one great story of this guy being trained into his intuition, stepping into his greatness, and as a result, he's going, well, I don't have to put up with all these meager jobbing actor roles anymore. I can start going for what I really want. And he's wanted to be a leading man on stage for as long as he could remember, and it's always eluded him. And yet, him making this step, he's given it to himself. And as a result, he's just launched his acting career to a whole other level. And now suddenly he's starting to mix with A-list actors. A friend of his who he went to visit and catch up with the management in LA is good friends with Robert Downey Jr. and Jeff Bridges and the Ladd family. And, it's like suddenly he's mixing with all these people that were beyond him before. So, that's
an amazing
story. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It is an amazing story, but I have to say it's very typical of people who go through this process.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Darren, I mentioned we've had lots of questions come in from all around the world, and they actually came in before the call, but we've also had a stream of questions actually come in through the website during the call. Now, I'm actually just going to pick one off to start with from Justin, who is in Brazil. So hello to all our listeners in Brazil. And Justin asks, using Darren's terminology, is a person's identity capable of creating a false greatness?
What a great question. Well, it's a very good question, because absolutely, because that's what the identity's job is. It is that it actually thinks it can delude itself to think that you are, it is your greatness. And, you know, like becoming really successful, for instance, or becoming really powerful, or even becoming really spiritual for that matter, it can have all these strategies to delude you that that you're living your greatness. It's a great question. It's and like the identity is often referred to in mythical terms as the trickster. You know, as you know, so absolutely. And that this is the thing, it's only when you develop your intuitive ability that you have true objectivity and you get to see the strategies that you, the identity are weaving unconsciously to do that, and you completely take the power out of it. But without your intuition, you get, you know, for use of a better expression, sucked in by the delusion. Yeah,
excellent.
Brilliant question.
Cool. Thanks, Justin, for that question. Now, this one comes from Rob, and Rob's in the United States. And Rob asks, how can I break through my subconscious blocks when I'm not aware of what they are? I only know I have them on account of the results that are present in my life, which are in opposition of what I consciously want to manifest.
Yeah. Well, again, the way to understand your unconscious blocks are firstly to know that you have a greatness and you have an identity. And in understanding your identity, to understand the beliefs that underpin that. And any blocks that anyone has are directly related to these unconscious beliefs and the strategies that each have. And once you develop your intuitive ability and you understand how these beliefs work and how they impact on your thoughts and your feelings, it's very easy to see, I guess, the blockages, if you will. But then the important thing is you see that these blockages are not real. I think that's the most important thing to address with this question, is that when we're in our identity, when we have these blockages, we think they're real, and we think we have to spend time, you know, getting the identity plumbers in to clear the blockage. You know, the therapists and the drugs and the, you know, counseling and whatever, or the drugs or the alcohol or whatever your pet thing is to try to get rid of this blockage. But the truth is that when you go down the path of discovering your greatness and developing your intuitive ability and you realize what's real and what's not, and you start putting power on what's real and what's true, the blockages just dissolve. They just literally just dissolve into the background, and they just don't have any power anymore because you know what's real and what's not, you see.
Awesome. Thanks for that question, Rob. Now, this one actually comes from Fiona in the United Kingdom. And Fiona asks, how can we learn to take our focus away from what we perceive to be our basic needs, what we need for survival, so that we can follow our path to greatness? It's hard when there are bills to be paid and children's needs to be seen to. What would you advise?
Yeah, it's a great question. In fact, I looked at a lot of the questions beforehand and they had that theme in them about how can you live your greatness and still pay the bills and still survive. Well, so the thing is, just to kind of drill down to what our greatness is and what our identity is that, and what each are motivated, each have their own motivation. And when we're living out of our identity, our prime motivation is to survive. Whether we're consciously aware of that, that's all we're trying to do is to survive. Whereas the prime motivation of our greatness is to create what we love. It is love. The motivation is love. And also, from what I was saying before, the identity assumes it's separate. And so because it assumes it's separate, it also believes it's got to struggle to survive, that there's a struggle there. Because of the separate, that's me against the world. Whereas when you're living in your greatness and you're connected through your intuition, it leads you exactly to where you need to be at the right time to create what you need and to create what you love, and you create, instead of surviving, you're thriving.
Mm.
Your life is led by magic. So it becomes more than just putting food on the table. It's about creating feasts.
Mm.
You know, it goes far beyond that. And what I love about it too is that in terms of creating this feast and thriving, you don't have to develop all these wealth strategies. You don't have to try to become wealthy first.
Mm.
So most people believe that the only way that they can get beyond their survival is to become wealthy.
Mm.
And it's just rubbish. It's such an illusion. Now I have this whole thing that this saying that we're destined to transform from caterpillars into butterflies. We're not destined to become wealthy caterpillars.
Mm.
And that's what most people think, that, oh, if I just get beyond surviving and become wealthy, then all my problems will be solved.
Mm.
It's just not true. Whereas when you go down the path of your greatness and you start using your intuition and you start acting on your intuition and magic starts happening and things start coming together, and it's no different to my actor friend. Like when he was in his identity, he was just barely surviving from one job to the next.
Mm.
He steps into his greatness and suddenly all these opportunities start happening.
Mm.
And there's no way he would have even conceived it to be possible when he was in his identity.
Mm. Mm. Now, I'm just going to drill a little deeper here, Darren. Now, one of the things that actually popped up in Fiona's question was her children's needs. Now, personally, I'm not a father, but I know that you are a father. And I was just wondering if being a parent, does that bring in like a whole different consideration into this pursuit of greatness?
No. It's more enhanced because, you know, I'm always focused on my son's greatness and serving his greatness, and I understand his identity as well. And, you know, there's just no question about, there's always food to feed him with. it's just not an issue. The same applies, that he brings his own magic with him.
Mm.
Now William Whitecloud's wife Christian had this wonderful expression that children bring their own loaf of bread with them.
Mm.
And they bring their own loaf of bread under their arm with them. And that's the thing, is when you're living from your greatness and you're living magically, is that your children end up enhancing that magic.
Mm.
Instead of being an extra mouth to feed. You know, our son Atlas, he enhances the magic of our life.
Mm.
But, and he contributes to it, you know. So it's that whole thing of when you're living your identity and you have children, they're extra burdens, or, you know, on one level, and then extra income you've got to earn, and you know, and then it's more that you've got to surmount. But literally, when you're living in your greatness, it's just your children add to the synergy and the magic of what you're creating.
Mm. And how do you actually practically involve Atlas in that conversation of greatness? Is there some practical...
Well, he's four now, even for the last year or so, is that my wife Joanna and I are very proactive with our intuition. We use it all the time for big choices, small choices, big decisions, little chip decisions. And like, we might be driving somewhere, you know, like we live in Exeter in the UK, we might be driving to London, like we just drove yesterday over, and we'll be, you know, using our intuition to focus on something we wanted to create, and we'll bring him into the conversation. We'll say, what did your intuition get? And he'll, you know, contribute his intuition, and it'll have a ring of truth to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just because the other thing when you're in your greatness too is that as a child we assume that he's sovereign, we assume that he is intelligent, that he knows what he loves. And so we're bringing him in. We're asking him, "What would you love?" And we're bringing him into the conversation, into the decision-making process. You know, as opposed to going, assuming that, you know, kids are stupid or whatever. You know, or we know what's best for them.
Yeah, yeah. That's a wonderful way to really have a open, flowing relationship and conversation that emerges from a meeting of two human beings' greatnesses. One slightly older than the other, but
yeah,
like equally great. in their own right.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Now, this is a question from Heidi, and Heidi's in Germany. And Heidi asks, how do I really know the difference between what I really want and what is just a pipe dream?
Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying before, doesn't it? It's about developing your intuitive ability, and in so doing, understanding your greatness and understanding your identity. And then when you do, you know exactly what your greatness would really love, because your intuition has revealed it. And you also get to know exactly what your identity wants, because you get to see its unconscious strategies, you get to see that it's built on assumptions, and you get to see where it would lead if you went down that path. So it becomes very clear as to what's true, what's a true end result for you that resonates true for you, and what's a pipe dream. It becomes very, very clear to me, or you know, to everyone, once you train in your intuition.
So I guess one of the big things or big challenges that most people are facing, strangely, in our modern world is the whole scenario of infinite choice. It's almost like we've got more choices than ever before, and more exciting, tantalizing places to see, people to meet. Now, say in terms of the greatness, like can you actually have an easy reckoner for determining some things that are more tasty than others, or when they all look like really good things to do?
Yeah, great question. It's very simple. We live in such an amazing time. And it's very simple, because, again, it comes with your greatness. It comes part and parcel with your greatness, and it comes part and parcel with your intuition, is the ring of truth. In that your intuition tells you what's, of all the choices that are there, which one's true for you, which one resonates most for you, which one's going to give you the most substance, the most reward, the most treasure, the most love. And to me, it's kind of like, in many respects, it's like the pea under the shell, you know? It's like, which one do I choose? Which one's going to give me what I really want? And your intuition will reveal that to you every time. And that's what it does. It reveals what you love directly. It harnesses the power of love, truth, and wisdom, your intuition. And so you can't lose. So even though you might think that, oh, I've got so much choice, what do? You just use your intuition to determine which one of those choices is true for you. And then once that's revealed, then you commit to it, you act on it, and then you've it's there. And what's amazing is that when you do act on your intuition and you go for that thing that rings true, everything else that isn't true just falls away, just fades away. So it's amazing. Similar thing happened to me when I first started working with William. At the same time, I was working for Oracle Large Software Company. I got offered this massive deal to work as a consultant with six-figure incomes. It was just all laid out, you know. And then when William and I, literally the beginning of 2000, of the beginning of last decade, we just said, let's just do this thing. It just rang true. That's what I meant. It just rang true. And we just went, there's no guarantees, no salary, nothing on the table, but we just went, let's do this together. And literally a month after we've made that choice, the guy who I was going to do the other deal with in the organization, this big organization, he ends up dying of cancer, and just came out of nowhere, and his whole organization just died with him.
Wow.
As sad as that is to say. Whereas William and I just progressively built this amazing modality, an amazing organization over the 10-year period that's just grown into this most beautiful thing that now, literally between us, it's impacted thousands of people's lives all around the world. And that to me is a really personal and very powerful example of just going for the ring of truth, even when I had one other very tantalizing option. That my identity is going, oh, I've got all the money and the status.
Cool. And I was just wondering, like, with the whole process of stepping into your greatness, and I guess, like, you've been on this journey for quite a long time now, Darren, are you finding, as you continue to go deeper, that more and more of your greatness is revealed, or is it something that's revealed all at once, or how would you actually describe your own process?
Yeah, it's a great question in that both happens, really, because whenever you go to your intuition, it does reveal all of your greatness, but then it also reveals the next true part to really to actualize, to reveal. And then when you do that, it never overwhelms you, you know, because it is an ongoing path. Like, we don't just go on around the hero's journey once. You do reveal more and more and more of it. And that's what makes it such a rich journey, because even after 12 years, and William's been doing it for 16 years, we're just like at the beginning, because there's so much more of our greatness that we can, because we've already actualized so much of it, and we can see who we can become and what we can do, we go for it even more. You know, it's not something that you just go, okay, well, I can see my greatness, and, you know, it's like a drive-through at McDonald's or something, and, you know, I'll have greatness. Here's my money and collect it at the window, you know. It's like a beautiful multifaceted diamond, and we kind of bring one facet into our lives, and then we bring another facet into our lives, and it just all unfolds, you know, quite magically and also quite organically.
That's a lovely way of describing that, actually, a multifaceted diamond that you keep polishing. It's beautiful. Now, this is probably what you just said there leads very nicely onto a question from Fawzia, who happens to be in Pakistan. And hello to all our listeners in Pakistan. And Fawzia asks, and hopefully I've got the pronunciation right as well, and Fawzia asks, what is my passion and life purpose? After 1 year of studying this self-actualization kind of stuff, I still don't know for real or for sure. And believe you me, I've been asking and looking and being, and I know the answer is searching me too. But I guess for Fawzia, like, she's been on a process of, I guess, trying to reveal that real gold that's inside, and he or her is 1 year into that journey. So,
but it's still eluding them, though.
It's still eluding. What advice would you give for that one?
Well, you know, I'm kind of like a scratch record, really, aren't I? in that. The thing that's going to really serve them is to develop their intuitive ability, because it gives you that clarity. It's the one thing that will develop your greatness and give you that clarity, because, you know, like, you've been looking for a year. Try going down this path for 10 years or longer and still not getting the answer, which is what I did. And whereas commit to your intuition, and it will be this like golden, it'd be like this magical yellow brick road that'll just take you straight there. It's quite remarkable.
I guess to go a bit deeper into, you mentioned the ring of truth, Darren, as well. How could someone, I guess, who is confused by all those different things, how can they cultivate being ready for the ring of truth? Or is the ring of truth something that happens and just people aren't paying attention to it? Or I remember in the movie Revolutionary Road, they actually made the commentary that even if someone's been without truth their entire lives, as soon as they hear it, like, it will ring. And I was just wondering, for people who may not have been hearing that ring, or whether that ring hasn't been present, how they can actually put themselves or prepare themselves for that to appear in their lives.
Well, you know, it's true, because we all do know the ring of truth. When it does come, because it does have this resounding, like, people say, oh, intuition's like a gut feeling, but to me it's much more than that, because when there's a ring of truth, it resonates through your whole body. Not just isolated to that one part of your body, but the main thing is whether people act on it or not, I find. Because even though people can have the experience of the ring of truth, suddenly that will then be clouded almost instantaneously by different thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And then people don't know the difference between, my thoughts and feelings telling me the right way to go, or was it the ring of truth, or, you know, suddenly this doubt comes in or indecision comes in. And this is really why William and I do what we do, because the training that we teach people is an art form of really understanding how our greatness is constructed and how our identity is constructed and how our greatness is constructed. Its fundamental construction is the intuition, is our imagination, is the ability to really come to and be trained in arriving at the ring of truth, purposefully arriving at it. And that's what you do when you develop your intuition. You purposefully arrive at the ring of truth. Whereas, and also understanding that our identity is constructed from beliefs and is communicated to us through our thoughts and feelings. And the mastery of it is, and the art form of it is being able to discern the difference between what's your thoughts and feelings from your identity, and the fact that, and what beliefs they're coming from, and the ring of truth that comes from your intuition. I think that's probably the greatest thing that we're able to give people, is that discernment. Because when you've got that clear discernment between the ring of truth and your thoughts and feelings, then you just act very purposefully and very directly on the ring of truth.
Mm.
And then you create magic. Then you create what you love. Then you're powerful. You know.
Mm.
But without that, the ring of truth amounts for nothing, because people can't discern the difference between that and their thoughts and feelings.
And I guess as people take that action step, following that ring of truth, the next ring of truth will become clear as
Absolutely.
They keep moving along that pathway.
Yeah, and it just gets louder and louder then.
Yeah.
It gets stronger and stronger.
Awesome. Mm. Well, Darren, we've covered again, like on all our other calls, we've covered such a rich and fertile terrain over the last hour, and I've picked up some really good insights as well. So I know many people listening on the call today will probably be very, very curious to learn more about your work and to perhaps experience some of your trainings for themselves, or perhaps an intuitive reading. And I was just wondering if you could actually share how people can actually find out more about your work and how to participate further in your programs and offerings.
Yeah, sure. Well, it just goes back to what I was saying before. Like, my main focus is facilitating people's ability to transform into their greatness. And the way that I do that is through my program called The Transformation. I mean, that's why it's called The Transformation, because that's the end result it delivers for people. And it's an eight-month hero's journey, where it's 1 weekend a month for 8 months. And it's a residential program which I actually run in Oxfordshire in the UK. And that's the vehicle that I use, that William and I have developed and mastered, that has delivered all these end results and transformed people into their greatness and trained people into their intuitive mastery. Because between us, we can just tell you, so many amazing stories that people have gone on this journey with us. So that's what, for anyone who's in, I would say anyone who's in the Northern Hemisphere, that's available to you. I mean, even if you're not Southern Hemisphere, if you're up for flying once a month to the UK, but that's the main, my main offering, and that's all I'm focused on. And whereas if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I thoroughly recommend getting hold of William Whitecloud. He has a website, williamwhitecloud.com, and he runs the same training. So definitely check William out if you're in Australia or New Zealand or South America or in South Africa or whatever. You cannot meet a more powerful wise man that will lead you on your hero's journey. I don't know where my life would be now if I hadn't have met William and been trained by William, And so if anyone's interested in the Northern Hemisphere and want to be trained by me, they can go to my website, darreneden.com. The next transformation I'm running starts in April and goes through to November. And what I find is that the people who are drawn to the transformation are people who are at that phase in the hero's journey where they're at that call to adventure phase, where they go, there's got to be more to life than this, And in many ways, in the mythical way, both William and I represent that wise person in the hero's journey, who reveals who they really are and says, come into training with me. And that's why the transformation is called the training. And I can also appreciate that there are certain types of people. Some people are like, yeah, this rings true. I'm up for it. Let's go. Whereas there are people who want to have a more personal experience of me, of the work, of intuition. And so what I'd suggest then, if it's something that does ring true, then have a one-on-one intuitive session with either myself or, you know, a member of my team, Paula, who's been trained by both William and I, and also my wife, Joanna. We're all trained in our ability to tune into, use our intuition to tune into someone's greatness and to reveal what it is that you, you know, what your life will be like when you've transformed into your greatness and what the end result of the transformation would be for you. And then we also tune into your identity and reveal to you these unconscious beliefs and the strategies and how they've been playing out and how you've been living out of that illusory self, thinking that it's real. And also reveal how the transformation will reveal more of that to you throughout the journey. And then what we do is that we then tune into, so what's true for you to step into your greatness and how the transformation will serve that. And what I love about this too is that what's really important to me is that everyone who goes on this journey with me knows totally that it's true for them and that I know totally that it's true for them. And so this third part of this session reveals whether this journey is true for them. So I remember, it wasn't actually me, but I remember William was doing a session for someone and got that it was true for them in their greatness to be a doctor. And so the bridge for them wasn't to join the training, but the bridge was to go to medical school. And it was a classic example, well, that's going to be the bridge for you to live your greatness, go to medical school. And that's why these intuitive sessions are great to do, because you get a personal, that's what William did for me. That's all I did. He did this greatness reading and identity reading. I mean, I'm like, this is amazing. And he said, yeah, like the best thing you can do now is just be training your intuition and come on this training with me. I went, yeah, I'm up for it. Mm-hmm. And then what I also have available too is a weekend workshop called The Initiation, because even if you've done a session, some people may want to just have an experience of the work in a group environment first before they commit to the actual the 8-month journey. And I'm doing that in the UK at the end of March. And all the dates and everything of what I'm doing, you can get off my website, darreneden.com. So that's basically the overview of what I'm doing and how I can support people, you know, to come home to their greatness.
Yeah, and I can certainly wholeheartedly endorse both the intuitive readings. I've had some phenomenal readings from Darren myself personally, and also had some real powerful insights that have come through trainings as well. So they both come with my full recommendation. Also, for those of you who may not have heard the interview that I did with William Whitecloud, it was a stunning interview as well. So you can actually access that through the People You Should Meet site, as well as some of the other interviews that I've done with Darren as well. All of them contain really, really powerful information to guide and assist you on this path. Awesome, Darren. So I guess in closing, one thing I was really keen to ask is, where does your greatness want you to emerge to next? What's it calling you to step into or to explore on your own hero's journey?
Well, it's interesting because what has become really clear to me, I've got so many different ideas and projects that I'm working on. but what all my greatness wants me to do at the moment is just focus on transformation and serving people to create transformation in their lives. Like I've got my motto at the moment is transformation, not at the moment, but it's like the rest of my life. Transformation is all that matters. And so this year, all that I'm focused on is serving those people who come on that transformation journey with me. But also with that, I'm also going to, my passion is movies as well. I'm going to start doing some more work in the movie field as well, and working more closely with people in that that industry. And I actually want to start writing my own movie scripts and actually working on movie projects as well.
Great.
But I realized one of my passions is my ability to see a film or a theatre production or something, see how well that is mapped to the hero's journey and to make it more powerful for them, because I know it so well. And I can't help it now. Like, went to the West End production of Mamma Mia last night, and I just went, oh my God, this is like entertainment, but what, it just didn't come up to, like, the movie was a fantastic hero's journey, but the theater productions just fell down so many ways. Like, I just thought, if I could have sat down with the casting director and the director after this, I could have served them so well in terms of the what they could have put in place from a hero's journey perspective. Because I really believe that many people are like me. We don't just want to be entertained. We want to be moved, you know. We want to be taken somewhere. And I think that's where my greatness is taking me as well. That's one of the gifts that I can really serve people with.
That sounds very, very exciting. Cool, Darren. I guess in closing, I was just wondering if you had any final words as well for people at home.
Well, I mean, it's the same message really. Like, at the beginning, now that this year has just begun and we're also beginning a new decade, I honestly think that the best thing that you can devote yourself to is to know thyself. You know, it just goes back to what the oracle in Delphi said, the most famous oracle, you know, in Western myth, is above all else know thyself. And if you can be dedicated to that, more so than becoming wealthy or becoming successful or whatever your identity is, if you pursue that one endeavor of above all else know thyself, the life and the richness of the life that you create and the richness you'll create in other people's lives will be astounding. So
I'll heartily echo those sentiments. And I guess it's the basic premise of what People You Should Meet is all about as well, to help people on that journey of understanding themselves fully. So awesome that you've chosen this forum to share such wise words. Great.
I have to say too, Damien, this is why I love connecting with you and why I love you so much, because of what you make available to people. It's just extraordinary.
It is. I guess it really echoes what we were discussing earlier on about the identity, and also the when we put that aside, what actually wants to emerge. And I guess that burning urge came to me to share all the wonderful people I have the great fortune of meeting on a regular basis through a, like, it was one thing me having the pleasure and delight of speaking to all these interesting people, but actually then taking that information and creating a forum where people all around the world, regardless of culture, finances, creeds, existing belief structures, could actually play in this environment and work out what's true for themselves. And I guess, like, you've been a very pivotal member of this developing. Like, you've appeared and shared your own material on a number of occasions. And it's just been great to actually continue this conversation that we've been sharing. And it's very much an integral part of this global conversation that we're all sharing. So thanks for the recognition, Darren.
Pleasure.
Awesome. And I guess in terms of recognition, the real recognition I want to extend is to everyone at home as well. Having your questions sent in from week to week, receiving all your feedback through emails, really does make this forum the special forum that it is. And I just wanted to acknowledge each and every single one of you at home for the wonderful and truly great human beings that you are. Like, it is a very inspiring conversation, and it's a signal of our times as well that we can actually meet together on a regular basis and share these exchanges. So I just wanted to honour and acknowledge each and every single one of you home for taking an hour out of your time to really sit in the presence of these kinds of conversations, and hopefully you'll feel moved to actually take this information, implement it in your life, and also share it with the people that your life touches. So, yeah, but with that, it's a perfect time to finish the call. So thanks once again, Darren. It's always a pleasure, and thank you, everyone at home.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, Damien. Thanks, everyone, for listening in.
Cool, and we look forward to having you on a People You Should Meet call very soon. Take care.